Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Now, I really was curious, going back to Thursday night's game, what are your thoughts about the concept of the moral victory? Or did you just walk out of that win and out of that game and been like, we could have won that game?
I think it's the latter. I don't ever like moral victories. And I thought we gave ourselves opportunities to win the game. But when we had an opportunity to get it done there in the fourth quarter, we didn't make it happen. And we got to be better than that. And I know Shoddy feels that way. I know Dak feels that way. I know our whole team and staff feel that way. And we just got to be better than that. And we have high expectations for this football team. Obviously, we were playing a really defending Super Bowl champ in the Eagles and at their place. And, you know, that's a great challenge, but we didn't get the job done.
I was kind of curious, coming out of the rain delay, did you feel like you guys were more effective that, or you got affected more by it?
No, there's no excuses. Both teams had a rain delay. I mean, that's why you continue to play the game. You know, they were coming off a big play. They'd made a big turnover, and obviously a play that hurt us. But hell, you got to go back out and strap it on and get after it. And I don't think there's any advantage gained. And we went to work, and unfortunately, we didn't get the job done.
A bizarre advantage that y'all gained at the beginning of the game was Jalen Carter getting ejected. I know you're involved in so many facets of the NFL. Do you think perhaps he should be suspended for that?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. We have people who make those decisions and have a lot of confidence in the guys who, you know, who get involved in that. I obviously don't have my finger in the middle of whether a player's suspended or not. We've got a great group of guys who know what we expect when it comes to sportsmanship, when it comes to these type of things. And I know they'll make the right call, and I'll be supportive of it.
Can we all agree, though, that spitting on somebody's just gross?
Yeah, I don't think anybody would defend that. I don't think he did either, the player. And, you know, it's an emotional game, and sometimes you do things that you'd like to have back. I'm sure you'd like to have that back. And, you know, that's just not something we want in our game. And I think the whole league knows, every head coach, and every head coach has certainly verbalized it to their team, that sportsmanship's a big part of, improving on sportsmanship's a big part of what we want from our players on the field. And every head coach is responsible for it. And above and beyond all that, ownership's responsible for it all. We expect guys to show sportsmanship, and when they don't, there's going to be flags, and I think we've already seen it. You know, whether it's taunting, whether it's whatever it may be, we expect, our guys to play the game the right way and respect one another.
It sounds like, listening to Shoddy, y'all walked out of the season opener relatively injury-free. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yes, I think it's a very fair way. We got a few guys that when you play a physical game like we play, like our players play, it's a physical game, and you're going to have some bumps and bruises. But for the most part, I think we came through the game to where everybody's going to be expected to play in the next game. And that's always a plus, because this is a very physical game that these guys obviously go to work every day and play. And Certainly, hats off to them for the way they do their job. But I think we did come through the game well.
Talking about the physicality, you were also just talking about the emotion of the game. Did you appreciate CeeDee Lamb? I know he would love to make those catches, but being very out front about how he needs to be better with the media and then immediately being back at the facility to try to make sure that doesn't happen again.
I expect nothing less from CeeDee. He's a class act. He does everything the right way. He busts his ass every day in practice. And I know one thing, he's going to make a whole lot more plays to win us games than he doesn't. So I have 100% confidence in what he stands for. Doesn't surprise me a bit that he was back on his day off on a jugs machine. He's driven to be great, and that's why we love to have CeeDee on our football team.
Yeah, I think we were kind of saying the same thing, as we for don't sure. expect something like that to happen from him again. Steven, Dak seemed to have, in my opinion, a different energy about him on Thursday, and some of the other guys seemed to have an edge that I thought maybe they lacked last year. Did you notice that kind of edge whenever you were watching these guys, and do you credit a lot of that to Shoddy's coaching style?
100%. You know, there's no doubt. I thought we had an edge. I thought the locker room was in a great place. I thought we did most things the right way. I think this is a great team to want to root for and follow. And, you know, I think it's all in front of this team. And I give Coach Shoddy 100% credit for that. I mean, he's certainly delivering a message that's authentic. The energy's there. It translates through to his staff, to the players. And I think everybody, if you watch that football game, it's hard not to feel it. And I think it's going to continue. And like I said, it's authentic. And I think Dak's the number one ringleader. He's the leader of this football team. And certainly what Shoddy wants to get done translates right through his quarterback. And you see that in the way they get after it on the field. We just got to. I think both those two would be the first to say, hey, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, we're 0-1, not 1-0, and that's the finality of it.
Do you have a general philosophy, or does the team have a general philosophy about negotiating contracts during the season? Because we were all curious about Tyler Smith, of course, and if there's any traction there. Does that cut off at the beginning of the regular season, or is it always open for business?
Yeah, we don't have any hard and final deadlines on contracts. I mean, you know, if we did a contract 8 games into the season, so be it. I will say this. I love the thought process of most of the players that we draft, is they like to keep their mind on their business, but it still doesn't mean we can't get a guy like Tyler Smith done, you know, here early. And certainly we'd be all for it, but we also respect when players want to get down to business and focus on the task at hand. But we're all about keeping our great players and guys who want to be Cowboys and be a part of something special. That's what we're about.
Do you feel like you guys have moved into advanced talks with Tyler Smith's people at all?
Yeah, it's unfair for me to comment. I mean, any further than I have. Don't want to get into any detail. When deals get done, they get announced and they're done, and people go about their business. You hope it doesn't change anything, because that's why you want to give a guy a contract, is what he's all about. And certainly Tyler's all about the right things, and we'd love to have him here.
Jerry did say multiple times that the Micah trade was worth 5 players. I was really wishing he'd say, like what he said about Jimmy Johnson, 5 Heisman players, but he didn't go that far, and I appreciate it. But is that a mixture of signing your own and other additions to the roster? Are you looking at those picks and going, no, we can add a lot of other things to this?
Yeah, I mean, this game's about resources, and certainly resources come in, come in different packages. You get draft picks, you get players, and you get resources to sign players. And that's the way we look at this. And, you know, we wish Micah nothing but the best. He's a Packer. We can't talk about him now. And We're worried about what we do and where our future, where we are today and where our future is. And I know Kenny Clark did. He was one of our top performers in the game, and thrilled to have him wearing the star.
Yeah, I like seeing a beast like that in the middle. How much more is there for Javonte in this offense? And also, how was Sanders after that fumble?
I think Sanders will be fine. He's a pro, and obviously that game meant a lot to him. I mean, he played there before. You know, he's wanting to make great plays. Hats off. You know, he'll rebound from that, and no one wants to have success more than he does. And then as far as Javonte, I think everybody saw why we hadn't had a concern at the running back position, whether it's him, Sanders, and I think it's all in front of Jaden Blue and Lepke. I think we got a great crew back there, but Javonte is a man's man. He's a pro. He's going to get the job done for us this year, and we're thrilled to have him on our football team, and I think it's only going to get better for him.
I was also kind of curious. I liked what I saw from Tyler Guyton. I know there's still a lot of room for improvement and room to grow there, but what'd you think after his performance?
Well, he has all the tools, and, you know, everybody comes along at different paces. You know, he had some growing pains last year. We get it, but he's a totally different player than he was last year in terms of his maturity and grasp on the game. And I think it's all in front of him. He's got everything you want. He's got the length. He's got the athletic ability. He's got the size, and he's got the right football character to be a great player. And I think all you're going to do is see Tyler Guyton, along with Tyler Booker, along with the rest of that offensive line. I think it's all in front of him.
On the defensive line, you talked about having an asset like Kenny Clark, and obviously you got the two other first-round draft picks. Is there any truth to the story out there that perhaps Philly was offering two more assets in a third and a fifth-round pick?
That's all in our rearview mirror. All we're worried about is our future. We're worried about Kenny Clark and you know, what the future holds for the Dallas Cowboys. What happened in the past is in the past, and we need to go win a football game. That's our first priority, and you know, we got to do better than just play well. We got to go win a football game, and I know that's the way Coach Schottenheimer feels about it. I know the way his staff and our football team and our organization feels. We got to win a football game.
You guys have a divisional rival this weekend in the Giants. In addition to the game, you told us about contracts earlier. Do you, or does the organization, have a hard and fast rule about potentially trading players in the future to a division rival?
Yeah, I mean, there's no hard and fast on anything. We've made a trade. We made a big trade with Philly before in the first round.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen. We appreciate the time, as always. Good sir. We'll catch up with you again next week.
There you go, Stephen Jones, right there on 105.3 The Fan. You'll hear him every Monday.
I think he actually might have dropped out, because that, of course, was the Micah Parsons
trade. He was furious with the question. He was like, I thought I told this guy, I'm not talking about that trade anymore.
I didn't ask about the trade. I asked about the future and the idea of trading.
I'm very adamant about this, and I hope that he finished off with this, because we did kind of get a note that his reception might not be the strongest today. But I was hoping to hear the line of...
But the irony of that being the Micah Parsons trade.
Yes, I was just really hoping that the line would be, and if it's going to be a division rival like that, then it's going to be an extra tax. You know, like, in just in the grand scheme of things, I don't want to give somebody in our division a player that can help them win a championship. Now, obviously, giving Green Bay that player when... Edrin Cooper, by the way, was amazing on Sunday. If you want to go look at a player that was dominating on the field, like I understand Green Bay is in our conference, but I don't have to deal with them twice a year. And sometimes I can miss them altogether. But I would hope that would be kind of the mindset is, hey, look, they're all rivals for a reason. I don't want to trade anybody to Houston.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anybody the Astros.
Yeah, and
or the Spurs. Seeing Michael Finley in a Spurs uniform, you know how much that hurt me? I know we didn't trade him, but it hurt.
A couple of things talking about, hey, playing good is terrific, but we need to go win some games. I think all Cowboys fans agree with that. And then the other thing, he was in lockstep with Shoddy in terms of saying they came out of that game relatively healthy or almost or pretty much 100% healthy. And that seems like a super positive thing going forward. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway with a crucial series win down. And 3 weeks ago, the Rangers welcomed the best team in baseball to town. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
2-1 pitch. Swinging a line drive, base hit up the alley left center field. Freeman round second, he's digging for third. Cut off by Myers. Beasley waving Freeman home. The relay throw to the plate is late. Freeman slides in. Young at second with a double. The Rangers lead 2-1.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right. If he wants the credit, just give me a thumbs up or not. Carter Freeman has just brought an important thing to air. Now, Colby, I know you listen a lot. Colby Tolbert. For a little bit of extra money, I bet we could turn this thing into Flag Tolbert.
Oh, man. Just that's for a the genius year. Idea.
That's Carter Freeman. That is a great idea.
Yeah, I think for 1 year, I think the G-Bag Nation would absolutely agree to that.
Agreed. Now, let's talk about them damn Rangers, all right? Now, you got Milwaukee starting today, so you go immediately from winning the most important series of the year so far to hosting the best team in baseball. This is a foolish question because every time I think they're going to zig, they zag, and vice versa. What should we expect going into the Milwaukee series?
Kevin, I'll be quite honest. This is a team that...
They're confusing.
Yeah, none of their star players are available, right. It feels like.
Right.
And they're just like, oh, we'll figure out how to win. And maybe that's... Maybe that's a huge factor in this. I don't know that Bochy, and maybe I can ask him on...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On Wednesday, are you managing the game differently or are you managing it the same? Because it feels like some things are just happening differently. The pitching feels like it's still strong on most nights. And then the bats are like, we'll score about 5 runs for you. Is that good enough? And you're like, yes, that's all we've asked all season. So I'm expecting, unfortunately, Kevin, I'm not expecting to win this series.
What?
Yeah, this is one of those where I feel like they take that step back just for a second.
That actually does kind of feel on brand for this team.
Yeah, so that's where I am right now.
All right.
Well, I haven't been able to get my heart fully committed to this thing. And that's probably why I did wave the flag.
Yeah.
Not Flag Tolbert, but the white flag of giving up.
So you host the Brewers, like I said, best team in baseball. You go against the Mets, who have been through their own odysseys this season. Just a loop all the way.
Station.
Yeah. Okay. That's different. That's a whole other thing. And then in a week, you play Houston again with the hopes that you go into that series with it being really important as opposed to, well, like, we need to sweep or something, or this season is over.
I will say, though, Kevin, if Corey Seager was to come back after this appendectomy and be involved later here in the season here. I don't know exactly when.
Which he says is the goal.
Which would be the better comeback? Him or is it AJ Mendez?
Oh, AJ Lee?
AJ Lee.
Yes.
Which one would be the better comeback?
I mean, Alec, I'm going to say Corey Seager because Corey, without an E, was just hating on the Rangers. Yeah. I feel like I have to say that. But AJ Lee's comeback was super fun. She looks like she literally has not aged one single day since she was gone like a decade ago.
Facts.
And I think that Mendez might be her real name.
Yeah, I was just going off her Twitter.
But for Corey Seager, I love his answer about his return. So he was talking about his appendectomy research And he goes, it can vary a ton, unfortunately. I actually spoke with some guys. There's been some basketball guys who've come back in 3 weeks, but they're not rotating and stuff. So I don't know if that changes. It's just because of where the incision is. That can change anything. So and then he goes, Matt Holiday did it in 10 days. That was the fastest I saw. That's in like 2 days for me. So there's no chance. So there's Corey Seager.
Oh, no. Okay. 2 days from now is no chance,
he
says.
He wasn't going to be back in 2 days. But there's Corey Seager
admitting
saying,
he's not as tough as Matt Holiday.
No.
Okay.
No. Saying in 2 days, there is no chance that he will be back.
Maybe if he didn't have all those extra letters in his name.
Okay, maybe. And then also, while this is all going down, you have Adolis Garcia back on the injured list, which when we talked with Bruce Bochy last Wednesday, it felt like that was a very real possibility. He said at best, you might see him hit. It would probably be as a pinch hitter. Clearly, they did not get the feedback from him that they needed. And he goes back on the injured list. And all of this at a time when you just continue to lose players, but continue to figure out ways to win.
Kevin, I know we're talking Rangers right now.
Tell me.
I think there is a significant piece of information that Brian Daboll has told reporters.
Tell me.
The starting quarterback for your New York Football Giants on Sunday.
It's going to be Russ.
It's going to be Russell Wilson.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to see Jackson Dart.
Hell no.
I do not.
And you know what? Maybe it'll turn out that he doesn't end up being any good either. But I saw Russell Wilson play yesterday, and that is the quarterback that I want to face.
Yeah,
all right?
That's the
Jackson
dude.
Jackson Dart makes me nervous.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This is tremendous.
I feel better about this right now.
All right.
Back to baseball.
I think that is great news. By the way, I have more great news for you. This is going to sound weird. The Rangers were awful with runners in scoring position this weekend.
Yeah.
They got 27 attempts, and they had two hits. They went 2 for
20. But they got outscored 11-0 in a game.
Seven. All right, take a look at that game they won in extra innings. You know what it was that day? 1 for 14.
That's a lot.
But here's the bright side. We talked about it. Somebody asked me on Twitter. They go, hold on. Is this because you brought up how much better they'd been with runners in scoring position?
Probably.
Then they hit a skid. But guess what?
No.
They still won that series. They still won the series even though they were absolutely atrocious with runners in scoring position. So when you move into the grouping of Lats, Leiter, and Kelly, I mean, Lats has given you some really impressive spot starts. Hopefully, you can even be back to mediocre with runners in scoring position. That will set them up for success.
Yeah, mediocre absolutely puts them in a good position to win these games.
Which I know sounds weird.
That's the other thing, Kevin, as you said that, as you move back into the light, you said Leiter. That's the one that I'm just like, I'm still so excited watching him pitch.
Sure.
You know, it's watching his growth, development, maturation in this league. And Bochy even kind of talked about it the other day when we were asking him about, hey, like, what are you noticing? And he was just like, he's just not panicking. It seemed like he was saying he's not panicking as much whenever it's time to do when you have an out pitch. Whenever you got guys, you got two strikes on them, you're not panicking as much as I got to make a perfect pitch or I got to do this or that. He's just letting it go and saying, I also understand that I have guys that are really good on defense behind me. So if this pitch is close but creates a problem for the hitter, then that's good enough for me. I don't have to strike everybody out.
And potentially more good news, I would maybe keep an eye out on Sunday's game against the Mets if this happened. Tyler Mahle, significantly better in his second rehab start. He threw 2 1/3 of scoreless innings. If you go back to his first rehab start, man, he did not do well. So now the idea is that he might be ready to bounce back with the Rangers. And I actually think that could be an interesting, hopefully bullpen-saving combination of Mahle and Lats.
Yeah.
Because remember, Boch told us, like, you might be seeing 3 to 4 innings out of Mahle. So even if he comes back, he's not going to be, like, an honest-to-goodness starter for the rest of the regular season.
I got a question regarding that. When a player has their first, after a long stint of being off, how much grace do you give them in that first couple starts? Because a lot of times I'm like, look, I know you've been preparing off-field, but then if you go and you have a bad outing to start and then you come back and you've looked like you worked on, you found some of the things, the kinks, maybe you were overcompensating on your on your plant foot or something like that, and you said, okay, I fixed that, though. I usually give them 1 to 2 and go, okay, now we're back in.
Okay.
And that is, that also does go with, hey, you're pitching in the minor leagues, you know, to get back into this thing.
I think that's
not everybody's involved.
Yeah, sure. I think that's a really fair point. But here's the issue that you run into with Mally in that situation. A best case scenario, if they use him as an actual like pseudo starter, he'll have 3 more starts in the regular season. So I hear what you're saying, and yeah. I don't think that's unreasonable whatsoever. But if I have to sacrifice those first 2, then does the 3rd one mean anything? Like, or does the 3rd one even happen? And so that's the tricky spot that you're in, because I think we're all stoked for sure about the Rangers winning this series, but you still find yourself moving up in the wild card, moving up in the division, but you're still not there. And I know you're going to hate this. The math is still against us. I don't know how it can be this bad, but the math does not believe in the Rangers, as they're only 14.7% likely to make the playoffs, despite the fact that they're 1.5 in the wild card standings back, and they just have to jump over 1 team.
1.5 games, baby.
So
how far of a distance is that?
I mean, it's 1.5 games. What do you mean, how far of a distance is
that?
Feels
like 20, you know?
Okay.
Doesn't it?
All right. Alec, what? No. Don't shake your head yes at that.
I think it's true. It feels further away.
Are you guys trying to 2-0 soccer me when you're like, oh, that's the most dangerous lead in soccer? I would rather be ahead 2-0 in soccer than 1-0.
Does that apply to hockey also? Do you think hockey coaches feel the same way?
I think about that all the time.
We need to ask Gullitson.
That's a great question. I never hear hockey players say that. So if your question is, would you rather be 1.5 back or 4 back? Obviously, I'm going to say 1.5.
Okay. Here's the other thought.
That is not a fringy opinion.
Yeah, or it could be. Whenever you finally do get that 1.5 games, do you think this team can withstand it and say we're on a tear? Or do you think that they'll kind of go back and forth like a bobber in the as you're fishing? Is just going underwater, coming back above water, going underwater, coming back above.
It feels impossible to accurately predict that. Because if you would have told me, hey, you're going to lose Adolis and then he's going to come back for 5 seconds and you're going to lose him again while you also lose Seager and Evaldi and you're going to surge in that time, I'd be like, what the hell kind of sense does that make? If you would have told me, hey, we're going to DFA Dustin Harris on July 31st and then about a month later, he's going to have a vital game-winning hit that essentially helped you win that series on a day where you couldn't get a runner in scoring position hit to save your life. There's no way I would have thought any of that. And yet, all of that has played out.
Here we are at this moment in time. And Kevin, I think the most important thing we're learning from this is at least we have something important to talk about regarding baseball in September.
Okay.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
It's frustrating, but awesome at the same time.
Here is a vital question that will help determine the direction of this show. Would you like to go...
like for the future?
No, just in the short term. Okay. I really feel like you would have been in the loop if it was both y'all would have been in the loop.
You answer this wrong, we're done.
Some NFL overreaction or reality, or would you like to move to some wanker of the weekend that will be led by a baseball incident?
Oh, let's go with wanker of the weekend.
All right. The thing with the baseball Karen. See? And you all know who I'm talking about.
Everybody. My whole...
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Facebook timeline is AI pictures of this woman. I have no clue why. Like, all these people are, maybe the Facebook people aren't real, but all the pictures, it's like somebody is making a comment about this lady.
Now, if you're into politics, she looks eerily similar to Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
I don't know if that does anything for you.
Well, it did for somebody.
That is a great point. But essentially, tell me if you think this is a fair way to recap what happened. I'm going to give you the Kevin-splanation. of what happened. So there, yeah, don't shake your head at me. That's what I'm sticking with. So there was a home run, and it appeared as though it landed in the row right in front of baseball Karen, or it was in her row and she could not corral it.
It looks to me like it was in front of her row.
Okay.
And there were about 10 people all kind of looking and scrambling for the ball.
So there's the scramble for the ball, and baseball Karen, with her kicky hairdo, she doesn't get it. And instead, this fella gets it, and he's pumped, and he runs off pretty quickly, and he gives the baseball to his son.
The reason, I believe, the reason he runs off so quickly is because he realizes he just snatched that ball away from a lot of people. Like, he was like, I just got away with something, which it's fair game when it's on the ground.
That is exactly what I think. Like, if that lady would have got it in her hands or a glove and he just took it away, I'd have been like, man, what are you, that tennis CEO? Mm-hmm. By the way, did he actually get fired?
Somebody said he got fired. Let me go check.
And that's the thing. You have to be careful what you believe nowadays, because people are saying that baseball Karen got fired from her job. She did not. So much so that they said she worked at some school district. That school district had to put out a statement saying that she's not employed there and she didn't get fired because, you know, she's not employed there. So the guy runs back. He's got the baseball, gives it to his son because, oh, what do you know? He's there celebrating his son's birthday because his son's about to turn 10. As if this story couldn't get much worse. Baseball Karen goes up to the 9-year-old, about to be 10-year-old, and she just goes off about, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that, and blibbity blabbity. And she just
goes. Are you sure that's what she said? You're just assuming what she said, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true.
Based on her face and the way she was pointing her finger
at her. Her haircut doesn't hurt either. And the fact that afterwards,
we've all heard she
saw
said.
People filming her and she started flipping people off. I don't know if you saw that. There was man. People like, oh, Karen's upset. She's like, right there, middle finger. And so she's all upset and everything and bitching about it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so.
We're griping you.
So she gets the baseball back from the guy because he's like, man,
just go away.
Would rather be knocked unconscious by this baseball than listen to this lady drone on. And so he gives the baseball over, which some people didn't care for. But it turned out it was the right thing to do because the Phillies, they're watching this game. They probably know that that lady's the worst. She probably had thoughts about turnstiles and how, you know, they should be misgendered or whatever. And she goes in there and like, anyways, so they decide to celebrate that kid.
My season tickets used to be 17 cents cheaper.
Yes, this is not cool. And so they see what happened, send social media people up there, bring them down. The kid gets to meet a player from the Phillies who autographs a bat for him. And then they give him another ball. Obviously, greatest birthday ever, except for that one part. Does that feel like more or less what happened?
It's a really good script.
You think this is fake?
I had to script the home run for one. All right, so that's definitely part of it. No, I don't think this is fake. We see things like this in stands on the Kiss Cam and stuff like that happen all the time where they have planned things where a guy will be like, will you marry me? And she's like, no. And then he cries and runs off and his pants fall down. He trips over him up the stairs, stuff like that.
Did that happen?
But
I kind of want to see that video.
But this one, like, I can't believe that somebody would be that upset about a baseball. And we're very adamant. And I go back to,
unless it was that Aaron Judge 60-second, then I get it.
Throw it back. I get it. Kevin, I've said this many times. I credit you 100% with this. Like, my mentality changed completely. We were at a spring training game. A ball got hit foul. It bounced. Took a 2-story bounce, I believe. Kevin chased it down. He went and chased the ball down. And then I was like, oh, Kevin's got a baseball. I wish I had a baseball. And then Kevin said, hey, let me find a kid and handed him the ball. Why? Because Kevin understands that made that kid's life. That day right there.
He seemed really
some
happy.
Dude just gave me a baseball. I have a baseball to take home from spring training. That's amazing. That lady right there, she must have lived a miserable life up until that moment. And then I bet she's still miserable today because of that moment right there. It's just it's just a bad thing. It does take me
she
back.
She looks like she's always miserable.
I remember I was at a Desperados game, and we're sitting in the end zone. The ball gets kicked over the net in the for a field goal. It hits a lady in the face on the second deck.
Ooh.
And then it falls to the floor. She should have caught it, honestly. It was bad hands on her part. And she starts yelling at the people downstairs. You need to give that football to... It was football, not baseball. You need to give that... That's my football. And everybody's like, you dropped it, you dumb lady. You're the one that dropped the ball. This has nothing... It's not yours anymore. Just like somebody said, once Derrick Henry dropped that ball, it was everybody's ball at that point. And my grandfather, this is the first time I'd ever heard this, aside from a dog. He looks at her and he goes, no, you get on out of here. And I was like, oh my gosh, grandpa, he's even in on this. So I knew everybody was right. And that lady needed to just sit down.
Now, I have new information from both the fan text and camper FAQs, which I did not know what that was prior to this, but they wrote a story about it. So... Barstool Sports posted this, and the CEO of, I believe, RV World, it put
RV
out...
RV World or Camping World?
Ooh,
somebody said Camping World in the fan text. That's the only reason I asked.
That is important information that I know he's the fixer.
Okay.
I will look more into that. He said, I will send this young man and his family to the World Series on me. Oh, and you just want an RV as well.
What?
So they're going to give him an RV as well as a trip to the World Series. Yes, that's the fixer.
Okay, yeah, it is Camping World.
Camping World CEO. So good for him.
Wow.
And you know that lady is going to eventually show up on some show asking where her RV is. And asking where her this and that is.
It's kind of ridiculous. That kid can't drive an RV.
I think probably for the dad.
For giving the ball back to that lady?
He did the right.
Really backing down on that
man,
one.
Man, also, did it really seem like that dad was scared when that lady walked up?
He was like, whoa. Sitting over there hugging his kid, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and grabs his arm and starts yelling at him. And he's like, the hell's happening right now?
The 817, I can't imagine how the HOA meetings are with her, because you know she ran for president and lost.
And she walks around and she's like, I'm sorry, the edge on your yard right now is 1.5 inches off.
Yeah, she got 2 votes for president. It was a landslide. Steve Johnson destroyed her in the HOA. All right. Now, there are other stories.
Is it that big of a story, though? Or is it just because of her overreaction? The rest of the world was like, we have to shine a bright light on this woman.
Look, it just a lot of people. I don't want to get into people's worldviews and everything like that. But don't you think there is a big section of society that thinks that lady right there? And unfortunately, the way she looks, too, doesn't help. Is responsible for like why the world is so miserable. I think there are a lot of people who think that lady and people just like her are why the world is so miserable.
Why we can't just have peace.
I mean,
always gotta have battles.
But like small tier battles. Mm-hmm.
Small wars, if you will.
No, I will not. All right. There are also other things happening in the world that I think are worthy of Forgiveness Friday. Now, Angel Reese. She's been suspended by the team for comments detrimental to the team. Now, I'm going to read you some of these comments. She was quick to point out she was taken out of context.
Okay.
I would like to read some of these comments, and you tell me how you think they could have been taken out of context. Quote, we're not settling for the same S we did this year. This team has to get great players, and if they don't, she would consider moving on from them.
Oh.
She went on to add,
she would consider moving on from the players they have or the team?
From the team.
Okay.
She went on to add, we can't rely on Courtney Vandersloot to come back from an ACL tear at the age she's at. I know she's a great asset for us, but we can't rely on that. We need someone, probably a little younger, with some experience. Somebody who's been playing the game and is willing to compete for a championship and has done it before. But she was taken out of context.
I mean, it seems pretty clear. Which now,
yes,
I am kind of interested in the comments detrimental to the team. Other than, I guess, suggesting that she's like, I'm not going to be here anymore if y'all don't do better at putting better players around me.
And Courtney VanderSloot
did take
sucks.
A shot at her teammate. Yeah. Did take a shot at her teammate for being old. That's a little detrimental right there. I don't think she was taking it out of context.
She definitely was not taking it out of context.
But, you know, we all have our own versions.
And by the way,
of words.
If we're going to do that, we have to throw the Dallas Wings into Wanker of the Weekend. So
what did they do this time?
They did the same thing they usually do, and unfortunately they lost. So Paige Bueckers had 18 points, but the Wings lost, and that is now 10 losses in a row.
Okay, I got a couple questions here. What draft pick do we have?
I mean, I assume at this point,
number one?
I'm going to double check that.
Okay. And then secondly.
Oh, no. We just surpassed the Chicago Sky again. So maybe one.
All right. So if that's the case, who might be the number one overall pick in the WNBA? You know, would it be potentially Lauren Betts? Is that a possibility out of UCLA? Ozzie Fudd out of UConn?
Oh, that.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Is that her?
That is.
That's Paige's girlfriend, right?
Yeah. So there's, I think.
I knew there's somebody on the UConn.
There's some options here, Kevin. Like maybe this is a good thing for the future of the franchise. But they do have to be better defensively to be a good team.
Would you want your significant other to be.
Oh.
At your. Oh my
well,
God.
Well. Oh my. Listen.
I'm going to ask your thoughts.
I feel think like that myself and my wife would be fantastic work partners because I am willing to compromise. I am willing to compromise.
Oh, dear.
I think she's really good at what she does. Like, so that matters, too. If you think your significant other stinks at what they're doing and then like you're telling them, hey, you're not good at this, then that's going to cause problems. But I also like spending time with my wife. There are some days, Kevin, where I'm here at work and I'm just thinking, what's she up to right now? You know, what's she doing? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to be next to her because she's pretty and I love her. Not just because she's pretty, but I love her also. So, yes, I think we would work well together. On a basketball team? No. I couldn't play on a WNBA team.
All right. Man.
That was a wild range.
What an experience that was. Now, this happens all the time. We were just talking about misinformation. Did you see that Wade Phillips had to speak out? He.
Oh, man. I miss Colby's impression of him.
He quote tweeted someone reporting his death, which that's got to be a fascinating experience.
We've all been there.
Yes.
Reporting a death that didn't happen. I haven't.
That actually 100% happened to me. And then the person called me and said, it appears the reports of my demise have been exaggerated. And I was like, oh no, I did that. Because I really thought that everyone was calling it the Taylor Webb Memorial Tournament. So I thought he had died, but he had not. And so you imagine my surprise when Taylor Webb called me on the phone. And I was like, oh, and not the ghost of Taylor Webb like Mike would do. But the real Taylor Webb. And so Wade Phillips tweeted out, and he's obviously was really upset about this. He said, a sick and cruel person sent this false information about me. Me, my family, and friends were very upset. Why would anyone want to do this? I'm in good health and feel great, except for this. That I can imagine that is a staggering feeling of, oh, hey, Corey, somebody you really care about is dead. And then you're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Not.
No, I can like. Yes. What you just said right there was exactly what I was thinking. Put yourself in a place where you've just gotten news that somebody that you love just has passed away. And you got it in the media or on Twitter. And you're like, hold on, what? And now you got to spend, what, the next maybe 5 to 15? Maybe they don't answer their phone. Maybe their phone isn't being picked up. You're like, what's happening right now? And for that period of time, there's panic going on.
Yes. No, absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
It's time for Hits and Misses, ladies and gentlemen. It's back.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.